What's up, everybody? Welcome back to episode 105 of the Rocket Punch Cast. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Cameron, here alongside Mr. Chris. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going, Cam?
Doing pretty good. I'm glad we decided to show up and not Will.
Yeah.
Your little jerk is out fishing, quote unquote, whatever he does.
Whatever that means.
Outside of the studio here. But no, other than that, how's it been going? I feel like
it's been 7 days.
Yeah, I feel like on the Rocket Punch Cast proper, it feels like it's been a minute since you've actually been here. Well, no, you were here.
I was here last week. It's been 7 days.
Man, I can't. There are gaps. You must have done some John Cena thing to make me forget what's like. You can't see me. You can't see me. You're right.
You never saw it coming.
Good job. We're getting there. Bits by bits, we're getting them, folks. Soon he'll be playing Persona. He'll be loving it.
I'm enjoying Last of Us so much that I think that's what I'm going to borrow next.
We're like, talking about that.
I'm like, man,
I've got a lovely book about the arc.
I feel bad.
But I can't show you the book until after you've beaten the game because it has spoilers in there.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll definitely talk about that there first. We've got a fair amount of stuff to talk about. We've got some good conversation pieces here. So let's jump right into it. First and foremost, guys, some housekeeping. As we always like to do, if you did not know, this is the Rocket Punch Cast, where groups of friends from all over come around this table, talk about video games into microphones. You can listen to us every Tuesday on podcast services of your choice. You can also watch us live as we record the show over at twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you want to know more about Rocket Punch and what we do here, head over to rocketpunchgo.com. It's going to be your one-stop shop for everything we do. All of our podcasts, videos, and more are definitely right there. And if you want to help support the show, help keep the mics rolling, head over to patreon.com/rocketpunch. For as little as $1 a month, you can help keep the lights on and help keep us creating awesome and exclusive content for you guys over there. If you're watching this via video, you can definitely help us out if you're an Amazon Prime member by sending over your Twitch Prime sub. We would definitely appreciate it if you're enjoying our content enough that you would donate your free Twitch Prime sub to us there. And also, if you're listening via audio services, please, please make sure to rate and review us there. That helps our discoverability and helps us get out to more people so we can entertain more people. Like, I don't know if I'd say monkeys in a cage, but it's close. It's very, very close. Also, if you're on, if you're looking for a place to kind of chat video games and goof off, we've thrown it in the Twitch chat there, but our Discord channel is available to all newcomers and anybody who wants to talk about games. You can join in there. We have a great topic of the day section that Chris kind of posts up some great questions. We've had a lot of great chatter and talk about that.
Yeah, it's good. I fell off the map there for a little while, got kind of busy life stuff, but oh, yeah. We've brought it back in full force.
Oh, yeah. Last week was really good. We had a lot of great...
We've given away cash prizes. So.
Whoa. Don't miss your chance. Head over to our Discord chat now. And join in there. And if you are watching via Twitch as we record this, if you have any questions for us, you can just throw in the hashtag AskRocketPunch in chat, and we'll answer those questions for you at the end of the show. That's the general housekeeping. Some upcoming events. First and foremost, if you're listening to this, this is going to go live the day before, but happy 4th of July, Americans.
Hey,
U.S. People, the Day of Independence, when we broke apart from the jolly old king of England back in that 1776. You remember that?
Yeah, good I was times. There. I totally
remember. Like it was yesterday, right?
Yep.
No, but happy 4th of July to everybody in there. Please be responsible with your firecrackers. I really don't want to wake up and see, like, man blows hand off for being an idiot. Probably will.
This is I
Alabama.
Want to see that.
This is Alabama.
Maybe you don't want to see
it. I don't want to see it.
That, I look forward to it. Every year I'm like, ha, let's check it out.
You turn on the news channel like, I can't wait. What do they got this time? What crazy story can they throw at us this time? But
yeah, professional NFL player blows off hand while holding on to stupid fireworks like a total idiot, putting his $1 million career at stake.
Hey,
yeah, good job.
He is still playing and he's actually doing pretty well. I think he's going to the Bucks.
And that's good. I'm glad for him. But, like, you want to be a little bit more careful or crazy all right, guy?
I'm not going to disagree with you.
Come on, man. Your hands are gold. What are you doing?
Not going to disagree with you.
Can you imagine the years you put up with getting up early, going to practice, you know what I mean? Through middle school, high school, college ball. It's like, and now that I finally made it big time, everybody I ever met wanted to be in the shoes that I am in today. Where are those 2 cent firecrackers so I can mess up my grip forever? Come on.
You know, life comes at you fast.
Yeah.
It does. But other than that, hope everybody enjoys a responsible 4th of July here as you goof off and have fireworks. But don't forget, we still stream throughout the week, and we will be streaming on 4th of July, probably earlier in the day because we've got plans we're going to do, grill outs and whatnot. But speaking of the streaming, we got our stream schedule. This Tuesday, Top Shelf Tuesday. It's The Last of Us with Chris. And we're going to talk more about your impressions, but I'm super excited you're going to be playing that. I can't wait to see you scream like a...
I'm excited to put more time into it, but beyond that, it's going to be a good stream.
It is going to be a good stream, guys, so don't miss out, especially if you have never played The Last of Us. You need to watch this stream. It's definitely worth checking out here. Wednesday, 4th of July, Indy Avenue, it'll be an earlier stream, of course, because you guys will be grilling out. I'm going to be grilling out, but I'll be jumping in on a game I've been interested on, but now it's on sale on the Steam store. It's Steam sale for the summer. Ruiner. It's this cool little top-down kind of twin-stick shooter. Where if you've seen it, it's the dude with the huge like mask and it's got the kill you thing scrolling on the LCD panel on his mask. It's pretty cool. It looks cool.
Sounds cool.
.. What is he about to play? But we'll be playing that as part of Indie Avenue this Wednesday, guys. And then Will isn't here to defend himself, but I'm going to go ahead and throw the hat in the pot here for Tank and Spank Thursdays. Strong chance it's going to be Diablo 3. Unless something else happens. If, like, Wrecking Ball drops for Overwatch, that might be played. Who knows? We'll find out there. But definitely look forward to any one of the Blizzard games here this upcoming Thursday for Tank and Spank Thursdays. Other than that, a burp, a small one, and that's it.
Oh, good. That's the kind of high-quality content you can come to expect here on Rocket Punch.
That's right. Let's jump into some table talk. Hey. First and foremost, we got some overall talk I figured we'd talk about, have a discussion, quick discussion on. It wasn't like topic of the show worthy, but it's worth mentioning as well. Do you see about that new Halo TV series?
Yes.
It's actually happening.
Is it though?
They have a network.
As far as I'm concerned, it was actually happening the first time you announced it. So now that it's actually happening again, it's like, was it ever actually happening? Is it actually happening? Until I'm sitting down watching episode one, it's not actually happening.
Oh, that's the alert thing. So we got a new Twitch. Good. I'm glad my speakers on the loud computer. I feel like I need to turn it up even higher.
Yeah.
Commander Root, thank you so much for the follow there. We appreciate that. You know what? Keep talking. I ain't going to turn it up.
You corn dog. Halo TV series. I don't know, man. You know, I it's not that I'm not excited for it. I hope that it's real. I know that Showtime's real, so I assume we're closer to it now than we were 4 years ago when the Xbox was launched or whatever. But at the same time... Again, until I'm sitting down watching episode one, I don't want to hype myself up to the point where, you know, I hype myself up about the Final Fantasy VII remake, and we all see how that's turning out.
That's great. I mean, it's an awesome game. They're taking their time making sure that it's up to fans' expectations, so I appreciate that.
That's and I do too, but probably don't get my expectations at all until you're ready to unveil them.
I think the show is good ways off. For people who don't know, the Halo TV series, quick little blurb to give you more details. It is finally a real thing. Showtime has picked it up, I think 10 episodes of the show. Mm-hmm. Steven Spielberg is still tacked on as kind of the writer for the show.
How does that even work?
I don't know. That's hard.
Be able to be just like, I'm famous. Tack my name on anything. Sure, whatever. I'm totally part of that. Remember that time I did that one thing with that guy?
Yeah, the one thing with that guy. But no, it's cool that it's happening. I'm sure it's going to be a ways off. This reminds me, I'm hoping it's not that the show wasn't bad, but as much as it's been hyped up, it needs to live up to, I think, an expectation. The show that was on Waypoint on Xbox with Mike Coulter from Luke Cage. Do you remember the name of that show? Without me having to look
up. I know what you're talking about, but no, I don't remember the name of the show. But I will say, I hope that it's an entire season of Red versus Blue in live action. That would be fine. Just do that. The hard work is done for you. Just put that out there. Let's be honest. Everybody's going to be fine with that.
It was Halo Nightfall.
That's it.
The production quality on that show was great, but I think the story was kind of eh.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that the story and whatnot, especially with Spielberg hitting it, is a little bit better.
We're in the post Game of Thrones era now, you know? So everything on any kind of paid cable network like that has to be at a certain level of quality.
True.
You know what I mean? I see it being pretty intense.
But, no, other than that, I mean, it's Halo. I'm always pumped about Halo. I'm curious what the story's going to be. If you're listening, let us know at Rocket Punch Go.
Maybe it'll be just like a National Geographic show with like all those animals from the E3 trailer.
with Master Chief in the background.
But for some reason, he's got like Steve Irwin's like Australian accent.
He's got a voice modulator. Like,
Crocky, look at that thing over there.
Let's poke you with my assault rifle.
Quick, catch up to it in the warthog.
Take a breath. But if you are watching via twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive as well as we're recording this, let us know in chat what you guys think, if you're pumped for the Halo TV show or not. There, we'll check out those comments. But other than that, Chris, what have you been playing this week?
Well, you do know that I put in a little bit more time on The Last of Us, TOLU, right?
Is it still doing
TLOU? TLOU, yeah. You know that one.
Is it still doing it for you?
It's still going hardcore. Yeah, you know, we've talked about it once before. I told you the game was way more addicting than I expected it to be, especially for someone like me who cannot do horror games to save his life.
Can't wait to watch the stream on Tuesday.
I'm digging it, man. It grabbed me by the nuts again, and it just kept going, man. We were booking even when I got to what I felt was an excellent stopping point, and I'm like, this is good. We're having some banter in this pickup truck. I'm feeling really good. This is going to be where I stop. We're obviously going to camp out for the night. Things are looking up for Team Chris here on The Last of Us. That is not what happened. Then 4 seconds in, all of a sudden, I got people literally throwing big rigs at me to try and take me out. And I'm like, we're still in this? Like, this game never stops hitting. It is crazy how fast that game is coming at you. So, yeah, you know, I'm digging.
Life comes at you fast.
That one most certainly does. Death came at me fast.
Again, it's, you know, I'm super excited to... There are games you have where you play for the first time and you have like this experience playing through it for the first time. And then when you replay it again, you still enjoy it, but you don't have that same experience.
Right.
Like, well, that of discovery. And it is very hard. And, you know, maybe the PUBG players don't think that way, but it is pretty hard. And seeing somebody else who has never played that game, I know, a little for seasoning, for flavor. Seeing somebody else who hasn't played that game ever jump in, and I know, like, when you say I'm at this part, I'm like, I know exactly what part you're on. Like, it makes me feel good inside to hear. Like, you're like, oh my god, I thought this was gonna happen, and this got derailed, and I'm getting pulled in these different directions, and blah 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 blah.
It's definitely one of those things where I'm super excited that physical copies of games still exist. Because I'm glad that you had it. You were going to let me borrow it. Because if I had to buy it, I probably wasn't going to.
You could get that game if you catch a flash sale for $10 or less. I've seen it for $5.
I know, but it was something. I got to pay money to purposely scare myself into having to wash my boxers. I don't see the point. Why do I need to do that, Cameron? Why do I need to do that? That seems silly. I don't want to do that. I just need the game to magically appear, which it did. And then suddenly I was playing it, and I was like, oh, I'm in on this. Cool. Now I do kind of feel guilty because I am enjoying it so much. I'll probably have to do something for the devs or whatever, or buy Last of Us 2 on launch day or whatever. But so far, I'm definitely enjoying it. I'm glad it exists. I'm glad you made me play it. You know, on stream, I don't know that I'm so glad about it. You know, that's something else entirely. I have a feeling it's going to be a night of clips. It's going to be a lot.
Yes,
a heavy clip night for twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive.
I'm going to double check the stream. It is looking a little bit unstable, but as I'm doing that, talk to me and the viewers about what else you've been playing this week.
So, also been playing Ori and the Blind Forest. That is a indie game, but I use the term indie very loosely because of the very dramatically high budget that the game came along with because of Microsoft Studios backing.
Use that Microsoft money.
Yeah, they were making it rain all over that game, and it shows. I mean, the production quality in that game is just astronomically high. You can't put it up against any other indie and say it's the same thing. It's beyond beautiful. That being said, though, I found that I'm not very good at the game. I got very lost. I did not realize it was a Metroidvania.
Really?
And I'm not very good at Metroidvania games. I like them, but it takes me a long time to get through them. My puzzle-solving skills are just... My problem is I never know when to stop, so I will continue to try making a jump that I think I can make by the skin of my teeth. And especially in a game like this where it's so artsy-heavy... They usually do add a few extra pixels that they probably shouldn't have added, and it makes certain jumps that you shouldn't have been able to make possible. Mm-hmm. So I will sit there trying to make this jump thinking that's where I need to go next. Then I get into the next zone, and it's like, no, you actually do need to have other skills in order to continue. And it's like, man, I spent 20 minutes trying to make the jump to get over here to find out that it's not the direction that I needed to go in the first place. So,
isn't that the point of Metroidvania games and kind of finding the hooks for that?
It's fine, but I feel almost bad because I was streaming it for Indie Av last week. And, you know what I mean? Like, if you're going to stream it, you feel kind of guilty. You know what I mean? You're like, here, let me bore everybody to tears while I try to make a jump that I shouldn't have made in the first place because of the fact that that's not the direction you were supposed to go. It's like, I'm probably making for a pretty boring stream. I'm good at the game. I'm not having difficulty, you know, with the game mechanics or whatever. I have it on normal. I'm not trying to punish myself or anything, you know. But I'm good at the game. It's just, I'm making certain decisions and going in certain directions that I shouldn't. And the game developer isn't necessarily punishing me for that. And I kind of wish they would. So I end up going... for long stretches into zones that I should not have gone into, and then, you know, I feel really bad afterwards. I'm like, ugh, I streamed for 2 hours and I made 10 minutes worth of progress, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I just, when you say Metroidvania, I kind of expect that. The kind of backtracking is, I guess, part of the game in and of itself, so, I don't know.
Well, I'm digging the game. The art style is unparalleled. It's an absolutely beautiful game. You know what I mean? So I am enjoying the game. I think the game is really cool. The story is okay so far. It's nothing groundbreaking or anything, but it's interesting.
I didn't know. Was there supposed to be something with the story? Or
I mean, I expected kind of something with the story based on the fact that, you know, they have a sequel to that coming out too. You know, so I figured there had to have been a really good reason. And typically, you know, story plays a pretty big factor in that normally, I would say. So, okay. I didn't know what to expect, you know. Indie games are all about that story stuff.
Fair enough. We'll see here. We're keeping an eye on the stream as we're recording, guys. So, something is drawing.
It is. You are into the red.
Yeah, I see. Well, it's funny. Tangent. Welcome to Rocket Punch Tangent. It's pulling the... It's red, but I still have like a bit rate of 3.
I see that.
That makes no sense to me.
It's got to be PC related then. You have something on like hogging resources?
Shouldn't. We'll find out.
Is your Steam still up? Did you close that out all the way? Because sometimes it'll be running in the background or something.
It's true. You're right. Watch it like, hey, we know you're streaming, but we decided to update this game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You never know. Yeah, it's still open.
Exit Steam. Watch that be it. That'd be fun. Other than that, what have we been playing? Oh yeah, it's dropping like down big time. Have you played anything else? Is that it?
For me, it's been a busy week, you know. Personal side note, you know, I'm trying to sell my house, so I've been working really hard on cleaning that up. Had a realtor come by and stuff today, so I've been real busy with that kind of stuff. So IRL has been taking up a large chunk of my week. I'm lucky that I got to game as much as I did this week. It was just a bad week at work and all that jazz, but you know, you make time where you can. You do things like, you know, make sure you hit your streaming nights and stuff like that.
That's true.
You know?
I'm still gonna. Okay, well, you take a look at that.
Okay.
Now, and I get to talk about the games that I played.
Cool.
This week. So, first and foremost, I jumped into Overwatch, especially with the announcement of good old Hero 28, aka Wrecking Ball, aka his real name, Hammond the Hamster. Super, super awesome. I'm definitely gonna say, if you're an Overwatch fan, number one, definitely listen to our Tank and Spank podcast, our Blizzard-only podcast that we run here at Rocket Punch. Will is one of our big hosts for that. But overall, that game is wonderful. The hero in itself, Wrecking Ball, is very mobile, very unique. If you can, I think once people start to master him, especially for competitive play, man, I had to think of the word there for a second. It's going to be super, super awesome to kind of see him with a grappling hook and kind of slinging around on the bends and whatnot.
Now, what kind of competitive play are we talking? Because I've seen Hammond Racing has become a thing.
Yes, it has become a thing. No, there's actually the competitive seasons, whatever season they're on, like 11 or 12 or something like that. You know what? I can't wait for that to be like the next mode.
Yeah, right.
In the game is Hammond Racing. I'll definitely be there day one. But I'm also just that his kit and what he has, his moveset, unless they do something to nerf him, he will be probably the main off-tank used for control points, 100%. Right. With especially depending on your point, the way he can kind of swing around and throw some kind of area control on maps and with his minefield move, mm-hmm. kind of throwing that in the control point, he could really do some damage if you're not careful.
I think it's because we're recording and streaming at the same time because you're getting mad drop frames.
Oh, should we stop the recording?
I mean, it's an option. You got to download it from Twitch after the fact, but hopefully from this point on, you can just splice the two together.
That's true. That'll be fun.
It's not that bad. I can do that pretty quick.
It's actually funny because we'll see. We'll see what happens. If there's a gap in the recording, then we'll know. But like, we'll see how long it goes here. If it goes back up, it'd be weird if that's the case. But
it's no weird because we do it every week and we don't have a problem. So
right?
Heaven knows.
But yeah. No. I've been Hammond is a really unique character and unique tank that he is, and I had a lot of fun playing with him in the PTR,
mm-hmm.
And kind of getting used to his tool set. So I'm super, super, super excited to see kind of what he brings to the table. And kind of the tools that he has
mm-hmm.
kind of to him there.
Should be exciting. Anytime they add a new character, it changes the meta a little bit. So
it does. They usually, you know, they've had a habit lately of kind of retooling characters.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure what that's going to take a look like and kind of take a spin there. Next game that I played was Octopath Traveler. We actually did the stream for, I'm drawing blanks on names all day today. Top Shelf Tuesday this past week. And Octopath Traveler, if you are an RPG fan and you own a Switch, this is probably going to be the pickup for you. I was really, really excited to play that and kind of get a chance with that. Had mm-hmm. a lot of fun with that. A lot of fun. Super, super excited with playing that. We jumped in. I played one of the eight characters. Her name was Hanit. She was the hunter.
Mm-hmm.
So she had the
hunter for life.
She had the Beastmaster controls where you can actually capture monsters and use them to fight. But they had a certain amount of attack, certain amount of times you could use them in battle.
Mm-hmm.
And they each had their own little abilities. So like one monster I captured had ice damage. The other one acted like a polearm attack or whatnot.
Right.
So it was pretty cool. It was pretty interesting to see. We ended up going from her to Therion and kind of picking him up as the next character in our party.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the thief. He has, you know, of course, his thing is steal. So you go around and you pickpocket and steal people.
Steal people.
I'm sure if they have people to steal.
Oh, okay. So we're like, what was that character from Rick and Morty that went around stealing stuff?
Oh, my God. What was his name?
We got this stapler. It's worth 45 ripples.
Yeah. And he who always went to his little secret place.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That was nobody can get him. But no, we went there and we had got him, picked him up, went through his story, and I think I've got about 30-ish minutes on the gameplay before it ends up timing out.
Mm-hmm.
And telling me, hey, wait for the release version. So I'm pretty pumped. I'm pretty excited to kind of get a chance. I'm jumping in Octopath Traveler.
Yeah.
Definitely check it out if you haven't. twitch.tv/RackPunchLive. You can see the archive of the video, but had a lot of fun.
Cool mode.
Oh, okay. So it looks like stream quality is coming back up. It says red there, but it says excellent here.
Okay.
So
that's good.
All that matters is what the stream up here is gonna say.
So that's a good thing, because hopefully we can pull the audio without having problems. Because I was actually looking at it like, maybe we should go back to recording.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, I don't want to have a bunch of garbage drop frames recordings. Oh, hey, green
is good. So now that's done, let me check my notes here. Topic of the show. We're ready for topic of the show.
Oh wow,
we are ready. What's only been...
Your body is Reggie.
30 minutes. This might actually be a short one. Normally, we've been like 90 minutes. This one, well, I don't know. It depends on how much we talk about the topic number one here.
True.
So, we did it last year for people who missed out last year. But it's mid-year. It's the end of June. We're going into July. That means that we've had at least 6 months of great gaming in 2018. Mm-hmm. So, it is now time for the Rocket Punches Game of the Year 2018 progress report. I know last year what we basically did was kind of looked at the list of games that have come out this year so far, mm-hmm. kind of picked and choose some of the popular ones that I think are in runnings to be Game of the Year, at least kind of be thrown their hat in the conversations, or some popular games and kind of what we think should be in the running, should not be in the running here.
Right.
We've got a list pulled up from Wikipedia of the games releasing here in 2018, and it's always accurate. So for the most part, usually they update it pretty well. But definitely the questions to ask here for topic number one is kind of what games are on our radar for Game of the Year. And maybe at the end, just kind of giving a brief overview of how we think personally games have been so far this year.
Mm-hmm.
This year and comparatively from last year. So let's get right to it. We're thumbing through the list here. So people watching, we're going to be going through the list here. We're not going to go through the whole list. We're just going to pick some solid games maybe we've played or we know that are at least in conversations for Game of the Year.
Okay.
And pop up. Let's start with January.
Okay.
Any games from January jumping down at you?
Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Dragon Ball... Did that come out this year?
Apparently.
It did come out this year.
Yes, I thought the same thing. Man. I go, man, I thought it was late last year. I didn't realize that was this year.
I didn't think it was either.
Holy crap. That, you know, say what you want. Game of the Year, I don't know if it's going to be Game of the Year. Let's be honest. It's just a fighting game. But
fighting game?
Oh, yeah. And also, like, not only best, but I really feel like that game has changed fighting game landscape. You know what I mean? Like, things like at Evo this year, you didn't have Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, but you had Dragon Ball FighterZ in there. Mm-hmm. That was a huge deal. Like, that is huge, man. Okay. And I don't think you would have sold half as many copies of Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle had it not been for Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Really?
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. I think that one's had a tremendous impact on the fighting game landscape, and I think it's also going to have a tremendous landscape on Dragon Ball fighting games in the future. You know what I mean? I think that games like Xenoverse are going to have a hard time.
I don't know if they're going to be any
I'll never buy Xenoverse ever again.
Really?
Never, I mean, oh yeah. I'm never going to do it.
I don't think they're going to make any more.
I don't know.
This is going to be I'm sure if you compare sales of this game probably trumped any others, and the fact that it's in major fighting game tournament rosters and kind mm-hmm. of like game roundups is really, really big, especially for fighting games.
Yep.
So I don't think they're going to make another one.
I would be I wouldn't be surprised if they made another one, but again, I don't. It'll never ever compete from here on out. I've bought several of the Xenoverse slash other, you know, Budokai, etc., etc. I've bought them before. Now that I've played this, that's stupid. I'm never doing that again. I would buy a sequel to Dragon Ball FighterZ.
What about Jump Force?
I don't know what it is, man. I don't know what it is. I know it's like kind of already an established type style or whatever out in Japan, but for little weeaboo Chris here, I don't know nothing. I was confused. I was like, what is happening? Are we in the real world now? Why is Frieza here? Why is Luffy here?
Is this the real world?
Yeah.
Is it just fantasy?
You could have fooled me. So I was super excited about that game. Again, I don't know if it'll be game of the year, but I do think that impact-wise, that game has had an incredible impact. It's brought more people into fighting games. It's brought more people excited about fighting games. It's really shaken up the landscape of, you know, big contenders like Marvel vs. Capcom and stuff like that. It also proved to Capcom that you can't get away with that crap anymore. You know, you release Street Fighter V in a super unfinished state, then you release Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite with these ridiculous character models that nobody was happy with, and then you see a game like Dragon Ball FighterZ come out and beat you by sales 3-1. You can't get away with that anymore. Like, in my opinion, it really even legitimized fighting games as a game style again.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I think that it really opened people
interesting.
Up. How many games have you bought? How many fighting games have you bought in the last 2 years, 3 years, you know? You bought FighterZ.
Guilty Gear.
Okay.
But guess who makes Guilty Gear?
Yeah, exactly.
Arc Systems. There might be a theme there. Okay, but I think that... good points. Dragon Ball FighterZ, I think, you never know, it could win Game of the Year depending on your site. I think that it's definitely going to be in some talks for at least, if anything, things like best fighting game categories or things of that nature are definitely going to be in the talks.
You'll have a hard time beating it.
They still haven't released all, I think they're at half of their DLC plans.
Yes.
I still, they haven't released the other four characters. I still hold firm. There will be a Jiren and Ultra Instinct Goku release for that game by the end of this year. 100% full stop.
Yep.
They're not going to... That's literally money on the ground.
Yep.
They're not going to leave that just laying there. I'll throw a game in the hat.
I know which one.
I'll do the softball one first. I'll do an easy one.
Okay.
One game... we're talking about progress reports, but I think I played this game. It's something that... was not on my radar, and it just people were talking about it up to its launch. Iconoclasts, the kind of Metroidvania style game, very indie game. It was pretty cool. Again, I think I talked about it when I was playing in it. You go back to those Rocket Punchcast episodes, but kind of playing around in that game and in that world was really fun. The story was very deep, and adult-like, kind of like. Existential crisis in existence and cloning and things of that nature is really interesting. Gameplay was fun, cool. It's a game that I think is highly... It was very, very fun to play. Is it going to pop up on people's Game of the Year? Maybe best indie categories you'll see it maybe. Pop up, but it really depends. The other game that I'm going to bring up,
Just go ahead and get that.
You want to go ahead?
Yeah, just go ahead. We all know it won.
Iconoclast was a favorite of mine, but the game that's... Oh, my God. Celeste. Fucking Celeste.
Matt makes games.
Oh, my God. That game. You still haven't played it yet.
I have not.
If you own a Switch, if you own any of the other consoles, it's on there, too. But if you own a Switch, that should be a game for you to purchase right now. This game will be in Game of the Year talks. It is... on my short list, at least for 2018, of like best experiences this year, playing through. I still pick it up from time to time. I'm trying to go through the B-side levels, and they're freaking hard, I'll tell you what. But Celeste is super, super awesome. The art style, the way it looks on the Switch, and the gameplay is tight and fun and focused, and it really masters that. You know, you have this one screen and you got to get to the other end, but if you die, you're going to die.
If you die in the game, you die in real life, though, right?
No, that's... Ooh, man. your wife's been rubbing off on you on that Sword Art Online there, sir. But if it really helps out with that gameplay and having that loop, and you know, when you die, you're not sent back to the beginning of the levels. You're just like put back in that zone, that particular puzzle. And it's really, really cool. I mean, art style, the story was really great. It did not take long to beat, a couple of hours, probably 10 to 12, maybe 15 hours. From the maker, Matt Makes Games, the guys that made Towerfall, Ascension. I know a favorite of yours.
Huge favorite of mine.
But yeah, Celeste is on list. I will tell you, it's on the Rocket Punch list for Game of the Year. It's on there.
Right.
100% going to be on there when we talk about it. But one of my favorite experiences that I've had this year. Really, really been thrilled with it.
Cool.
Any other for January that you can see?
I mean, Monster Hunter World is probably going to be on somebody's list.
I think that needs to be brought up. That needs to be talked about.
It needs to be talked about, but at the same time, it's not on my list. I'm not a fan. I don't really care for the franchise.
It's Monster Hunter. What's funny enough is that they still haven't released it on PC as of this recording. Mm-hmm. I thought it would have been there by now. And like, it was, I remember when the game came out, like best-selling Capcom game ever. For any franchise, I think it's the game that's kind of made Monster Hunter mainstream over here in the States. The fact that this is all being done on consoles and it hasn't hit PC yet is probably a big deal.
Yeah.
Because if it's got that popularity behind it, and then when it hits PC finally, it's just going to roll downhill from there. But no, Monster Hunter World I think needs to be brought up. I don't know if... I'm checking the pulse here. I don't know if people are going to be jumping at the bit for having that in Game of the Year conversations.
Yeah, too, I don't know. It also hurts the fact that it came out in January, I think, in terms of Game of the Year. You know what I mean? It's like, by the time you finally get to December, it's like people have forgotten what came out in January.
You've got to make a really strong impression. I think Celeste has really made an impression.
Right.
You hearing about it from me constantly over the last couple of months
has
been impression enough. Let's jump into February. Mm-hmm. So, looking down the list, any games that jump out at you for February that we should probably talk about?
Metal Gear Survive. No, I'm kidding.
Turning off mic now. Please please stand by. Yeah. I'll have to talk to Chris real quick.
You guys cut to a BRB screen.
I don't know if it's Game of the Year. I don't know if it'll actually be in a conversation just because of the nature of the game, but Shadow of the Colossus.
Can you put that in there?
I
appreciate the work you put into it. Do not get me wrong. That was not a simple remake. That was a rebuild from the ground up.
Yeah.
You really, really, really kick butt. I bought the game, so you know I appreciate the work and effort you guys put into it. But I don't think you can put that into a conversation for Game of the Year. It was in the Game of the Year 10 years ago.
Yeah, I don't think it's in the Game of the Year, but I guess some honorable mention, something to bring up.
I would. I think that come December, we need to say something about that.
Did you ever beat it?
I did not. No. I did not. I did a few streams of it, and it didn't grab me. You know, we talked about that on stream once. That you know, I think that its staying power in the PS2 era was probably much stronger than it is today.
It is a game from the PS2 era.
Yes.
Like as far as because the gameplay's been tweaked and reworked, but it hasn't really been overhauled.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely I think nod, and we give a nod to
it needs, you know, somebody needs to talk about that game. You know, that game was great. You guys really knocked it out of the park, but Game of the Year might not be the best conversation for it.
There are a lot of games in February.
There's a lot of games, but there's a lot of junk, right? Like so what is this? Is this Civilization 6? Civ 6 came out in...
No.
Oh no, it must have been an expansion.
It's an expansion.
Never mind.
Yeah. No. Yeah, the Rise and Fall is an expansion.
Stig in chat says, pretty sure that the original version didn't have the overt storytelling either. It was all silent and more emergent. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't play the first one. Was there a lot of storytelling in the first one?
The story is about the same. I think probably with the rebuild, it's more prevalent now than it was back then. There wasn't really people like talking and making sounds, but... You know, that was back around the time of Shadow of the Colossus and Ico. You're just people making sounds and doing, come here, you know, things like that. So, you know, take that for what you want.
Right. H1Z1 made its official debut in February.
Did it?
Yeah, it was its official release date as of February.
Do you have anything to say about H1Z1?
I didn't play it. I never cared.
It's your favorite genre.
Yeah.
Battle Royale.
But what I'm not seeing a lot. You got SAO Fatal Bullet. I know a lot was said about that. I heard it was good, but I don't think it's game of the year good. It wasn't good enough for me to even, you know, put it on a list of anything to buy.
One game I think should be brought up. We haven't played it, but I've heard things about it. I'm sure people in chat could probably speak to it a little bit more. Kingdom Come Deliverance. This was that game. It was. I think the way they kind of hyped it up was it was The Witcher 3, but without the magic.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, think of, like, The Witcher 3 and Game of Thrones, but no magic, kind of combined together.
Right.
And kind of, it's just really swords and kind of fighting on that front there. From what people showed, very immersive world, like The Witcher. I mean, the way people described it, take The Witcher, take out the magic, that's a game.
Right.
And people like that style there, but I never really played it. I never jumped into that game a whole lot.
Something tells me The Witcher isn't really concerned with the number of copies sold of Kingdom Come Deliverance. Just gonna throw that out there. I'm thinking CD Projekt Red is feeling quite comfortable in The Witcher.
The Witcher 3, 2015 Game of the Year for Rocket Punch. Just letting everybody know. That was by landslide. Go listen to that episode. We build it up pretty hard. They're like, yeah, it's The Witcher 3. There was no contest. Still have to beat that game. It's been 3 years and I still haven't beat it or any of the expansions, but I've been thinking about jumping in there. Maybe a Top Shelf Tuesday might jump into The Witcher. That'd be fun.
The Secret of Mana remake came out in February too.
They did. I never played Secret of Mana.
I played a few minutes on my SNES Classic, but yeah. I didn't really put any time into it as a kid.
Stigander in chat says The Alchemy was really cool too. Pretty sure that game started off as a medieval combat simulation based on the original teaching plates from the Middle Ages. So that's cool. Kind of seeing where that game came from. Pretty cool. Stig with the knowledge. Appreciate it, bro. Other than that, thumbing through February here, games I know that people have talked about, Radiant Historia, Legend of Nightmare, Certain Magical Virtual. What is a Certain Magical Virtual on? That sounds like some dirty game.
I mean, I remember Virtual On. That was the one with the robots and everything from the Dreamcast or some crap.
Okay.
It was an arcade game first, and it was on the Saturn. It was on the Sega Saturn. It was like a robot mech fighting game. It wasn't a fighting game, though. It was like a robot mech shooting, attacking, fighting game. Like, almost like a Power Stone kind of thing, but with robots.
Power Stone.
Over robots. Virtual On was pretty cool. I remember that.
Where's my Power Stone remake?
Yeah.
Probably answer those questions, Sega. Instead of making Sonic Heroes Mania? Forces. Mania? Instead Mania? Of making Sonic Forces, how about we make a Power Stone remake?
Hey, we're busy making Sonic Mania, okay?
They already
kind
released
of a big deal. Whatever. Kind of a big deal.
They're not really. They put kind that out to Christian Whitehead and those some third party developers. They're doing fine. They're doing good. They're doing the Lord's work there. There's the VR game Moss. I don't know. There's much to talk about there. No, that's really it for February.
Yep, it had a lot of games. Nothing worth really discussing.
For the game of the year progress report. Nothing really to talk about there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's jump into March.
March.
I will definitely say, it's not game of the year, but I want to give a nod, quick little shout out to Pit People. This was a indie game in early access. I know when Seth was on the show way back when, him and I played this game for one of our Rocket Punch plays or streams, one of the two. So definitely check out, I think our YouTube channel might have an archive of that video, but it was pretty cool.
Okay.
Very interesting game. Check that out. But other than that, March. Any games jumping at you for March?
I mean, I'm seeing Final Fantasy 15 Windows Edition, but again, you can't really count that. It came out forever ago. Windows Edition is a feat of engineering. It is absolutely the stuff they did with the NVIDIA works, the GameWorks stuff they threw in there. Like, it is leaps and bounds over the console version of the game. But I mean, who cares? You know what I mean? It came out, what, 2 years ago, a year and a half ago?
Something like that.
Yeah, so, like, I'm glad it's on Windows now, but you can't. You can't talk about it for game of the year.
I think we have to have the conversation since it was so high profile. I probably already know your answer. Sea of Thieves came out in March.
Did it?
It did come out in March.
Okay. There's no way it's getting game of the year talks out of me. Game of the year? It's not even. It was never done when it came out. I think that a year or two from now will be a dramatic difference.
We've got two more DLC packs coming out this year alone.
Why am I touching my face?
You're watching the video.
I see that. I see that now, but now I'm looking over there, and yet it's still showing me not looking over there.
The video is still showing fine on my end.
Is it?
Well, I haven't refreshed it. It's still frozen.
Let it go, Gabriel.
Let it go. Let it go. It's still...
It's me just poking my face.
It's still you just poking your face there.
That is weird.
Let's switch over here. Let's do some stuff on stream.
Hold on.
Nope, it's still frozen.
Can you reboot it? Can you reboot the camera?
Oh, reboot the camera. Yeah. Are you gonna keep talking?
Yeah, I'll keep talking.
Talk about Sea of Thieves.
So let's see what we got here. Sea of Thieves. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, game of the year. It stinks because the way you released that game, you probably set it up in such a way that you could have really turned it into something amazing, but instead you rushed it to market. Maybe that was part of your idea with the Games Pass thing, where you were like, "Hey, we can get away with doing a little bit more crazy stuff by doing this." I don't know, but regardless. You put the game out in its, more in my opinion, unfinished state, and then you were like, hey, you know, we'll see what happens later. We'll see what happens, you know, after the fact. And I think a year, maybe 2 years from now, you will be looking at something completely different. I think that the game will actually be a lot of fun. I think that they will have released enough content at that point that it will be absolutely worth putting a bunch of time into. But as it stands in March when it came out, like, You can't judge it as game of the year on basically an unfinished product. It's just tough to do. I'm not saying it's even a bad business strategy. It's just, don't think for 2 seconds that you're going to be able to, you know, come December, be able to battle it out with the big boys. You know what I mean? Like, you're not. Yeah, I do. I think that's going to be tough. When you have a complete experience like a God of War or a Horizon Zero Dawn or a Breath of the Wild or a Mario Odyssey, a game that came out 100% complete. Maybe we added some stuff after the fact, some cool DLC, fun stuff to keep you in that breathing world. But at the end of the day, like, we know what it was. You know what I mean? Like, the game was done. When it came out today, it was done, and you could put a ton of hours into it and just enjoy it. And that is not Sea of Thieves. You know, conceptually, it's a good concept. Maybe even be a lot of fun a year from now. But today, it's not that. And I don't think come December, even if they have made a lot of repairs on it in December, how do you judge a game like that? Do you judge it at what it looks like in December, or do you judge it at what it looked like the day that it came out?
Hey, I fixed it.
Hey.
Hey, video.
What?
This is going to be the awesome video.
This is the whole stream, right? This is just... My hope is that we're just getting all the cobwebs out. Just shake it out, man. June cobwebs out.
This is going to be an awesome stream when we pump this whole video.
We're moving into July. Second half of the year is going to be smooth sailing. Just got to get the first half jitters out.
Stig in chat says, fun party game, but it felt very, very shallow. I also enjoy his Kappa comment. Wind Waker had more sailing content. Where's Wind Waker HD remake for Switch?
Yes.
Nintendo, come at me.
Yep. It can't be that hard to port that over. It's already done.
Yes, thank you. It's save as dot switch. Yes,
please.
EXE.
You know, if you did that, I would buy it. Like, I'm sorry, Nintendo, but just hurry up, okay? Like, I would buy it, I promise. I don't even care about all the shade you would get from all kinds of people online. People would buy it. You seem like you would buy it. I know I would buy it.
Seth would buy it in a heartbeat. I know it. Yep. I know multiple people who would buy that.
Please, just stop screwing around. Put more games out.
Make it happen. Or Wind Waker 2.
That would be great, but that's a lot of work. That is true. The work was already done for the Wii U port.
Imagine, if you will, the technology that Nintendo has created from Breath of the Wild, but make a Wind Waker game.
That would be intense.
Just everybody who's listening and people on Twitch chat, absorb that for a little bit. Take that into your mind. Close your eyes and visualize that. It's awesome, isn't it? 10 out of 10.
11 out of
10. 7 out of 10. Too much water.
Yeah.
So, let us... What's another game here? We talked about Sea of Thieves. I think a popular game people have been looking at, A Way Out. The co-op game from Joseph Ferris and his team. That infamous Game Awards rant.
Yeah.
about the Oscars way back. Sticky in her chat says, don't tease me like that, Cam. No, A Way Out looks cool. I think that it'll get some nods, especially for creativity. Rant aside, I think the game was received very well. It's one of the few games in the industry right now that is co-op only. Mm-hmm. You do have to play with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't really played much with the game, though. So I can't speak a lot to it.
I didn't even know you had the game. So this is news to me.
I don't have the game.
Oh, well, there you go.
That's why I haven't played a lot of it.
There you go. I also haven't played a lot of it.
Some of the very consumer-friendly things, like the fact that you only have to have one copy of the game, you can get a friend to play.
It's cool.
You guys can play through together. That's really awesome.
That is.
But no, Way Out, I think, will be on some people's lips on conversations as well.
I doubt that.
Ni No Kuni 2, Revenant Kingdom, I think will probably be in some people's best RPG category.
Yeah. Nah, you may hear that one again.
The first one looked interesting, and really, I wanted to jump into that one, but the second one, I don't know.
See, I want to jump into the second one, but I want to play the first one first, and you released the second one on PC, but I'm still waiting for a PC port of the first one.
I don't think you had to play the first one to play the second one.
You don't have to. I want to. I wanted to play the first one all along, but I had already traded up to another next-gen console or whatever. I didn't have a PS3 or it broke or something, but for whatever reason, when Ni No Kuni 1 came out, I couldn't play it, so... Yeah, I don't know. I wanted to play that game, but whatever. Such is life. There's a lot of games I want to play that I'm not going to get to. Yeah. Far Cry 5 is on this list.
Ooh, that is one to talk about. You have played a lot of it. I've played
a
lot. Some of it.
That's a real loose term, but I have played it. Yes.
You played more than I have. I've played a little bit of it as well. As far as Game of the Year talks, how's this rating for you?
I mean, it's so hard because a game of the year, I don't know. It'll be on somebody's list as a game of the year for open world titles or whatever, you know, some niche thing, but it probably won't be game of the year.
I guess, like, not game of the year, but, like, it's in that conversation. Remember, a lot of the game of the year stuff is not just game of the year stuff, but also categories and whatnot.
Right.
Best RPG, best shooter, stuff like that.
I mean, I dig it, you know, but it looks really good on my PC. I know that. And I have all my Corsair peripherals, and they all light up and stuff to match the game and stuff that's happening in the game. And
you're so happy about that, too.
I think I game more for the technology aspect of it than I do for the actual video games. It's an actual problem.
Hey guys, I'm playing The Witcher 3, and look how my computer components change colors based on what Geralt is doing in the game.
It took me 3.5 hours to set it up. But geez, look how cool this is. Okay, I put 10 minutes into it. Let's play something else.
Sticky Ender in chat says, y'all don't even need to have this conversation. The Todd Emperor of Mankind is giving us Fallout 76.
Oh, Jay, this is Stig. I thought about that earlier before we even started the conversation. Like, you got Fallout 76, and you also have
Red Dead 2.
Like,
wait, this is the progress
this
report.
This is a progress report.
This is just,
it's
like,
fun,
up to this point.
But I agree. I think that our best days are ahead of us for 2018.
And that's usually the case. But yes. I think this helps... This conversation helps to make sure games don't get lost in the shuffle.
True.
Like Celeste.
Yeah.
Like Fallout, Far Cry 5 and other games like that. So that's, and plus it's fun to just kind of look. It helps keep the refresher, at least in my mind. What the hell?
Yeah, we're doing this for us. What do you think? We put this out for you people? Come on, man. Selfish.
So, yeah, Far Cry 5 was pretty fun. A great shooter. I think that some people are going to be talking about it for a number of different reasons in there. I'm curious to see how far it will go, especially kind of as you brought with the other games that are coming down the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
How much legs that's got there. But it was a fun game. I know Will especially enjoyed it.
Yes.
How about that Kirby Star Allies, man? Any read on that?
I mean, I did not play it. I heard it was stupid easy. And I know when I played the demo, it was absolutely stupid easy.
Oh, no, like, I mean, Kirby Star Allies is a Kirby game. It is always easy.
Baloney on that.
What?
Baloney on that. No, no, because at least in a Kirby game, as easy as the difficulty is, you still have to perform the actions. In this one, you get 3 CPUs that do 90% of the work in the game. You get to land a few boss hits, and that is it for the whole game. Those things are running ramshod through the whole game. No. No, it's nothing like a Kirby game. I totally disagree.
Every Kirby game I've played has been relatively easy compared to the rest of the Nintendo.
This is the game plays itself kind of easy, though. That's different.
Okay, no.
I disagree.
You've played more with it than I have.
So. I've played more Kirby. I played a bunch of Kirby stuff. You know, like, yes, normal mode is stupid easy. If you ramp it up to a completely insane mode, it's kind of hard. But it never gets hard. It's almost like an introductory type of game for, you know, new gamers or whatever. That's fine. But the game can't play itself. You can't set it up where the just AI completely understands its role and just starts running through the game. You're the whole time Kirby's just trying to keep up, like, get in there, run, they're gonna beat the game. hang on, it's Kirby Star Allies, not Star Allies, and also that other thing, the pink guy. So yeah, I don't know. I and the whole game is based around that, is based around you having three CPUs following you around to do stuff. Yeah. You don't get to do any of the puzzle solving yourself. You don't get to do any of
it. They actually really physically go solve the puzzle for you.
They do. Mm. They do. Like, if there's tall grass or something, and there's something hidden in the tall grass, if you have a guy with a sword, he cuts right through it. Or lights it on fire or whatever it is
that's going on. Best family game. You never know.
Weak. That will not be on anyone's list. I can promise you that one.
So that's it for March. Let's jump into April, looking at the big list of games in April here. I'm going to tell you right now, the game that should be on everybody's mind for Game of the Year, especially from April, is Nintendo Labo.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm totally kidding. No. We're going to talk about the other game that came out on that exact day, God of War.
Mm.
Again, this is another Game of the Year contender. This is a heavyweight contender, I think, in a lot of people's minds.
Mm-hmm.
Mine specifically. I say that being in the progress report year, if I had to pick a game right now, this would probably be the game for me, Game of the Year.
Yeah?
It's either going to be either that or Celeste. It's going to be very, very close between the two, but I think the God of War would edge out. Playing through the entire game, it was a cinematic masterpiece. It was a gameplay combat masterpiece. I had fun throughout the. I could not put it down. Going through the one cut camera is true to life, as weird as it sounds. And you're like, I don't believe you. There, unless you died, there was not a single cut from that camera. It always stayed there. It panned around all the characters and whatnot the entire time. And just the story of kind of. It was great to see Kratos back in and actually have a story. And actually have character instead of just like, I'm going to kill everyone.
Right.
He actually had story in depth with him and Atreus and all the characters that he met along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just it was a roller coaster of a ride. I'm sure we've got a couple of gameplays on twitch.tv/RockPunchLive. You guys can check them out. But yeah, God of War's on, as of right now, top of my list for Game of the Year.
Cool.
Contention.
You know, I don't know. I have to sit down and put more time into that game. I'll tell you one thing, it's not even close to addictive as Last of Us is. I'm enjoying Last of Us much more than I did God of War. But you also know that we were trying to put that video review together, and I almost felt like it was a job more. So maybe now that I'm less stressed out about it, maybe I'll enjoy it more. I need to sit down and put some more time into it. But up to this point, I had a really, really, really good time playing the intro. And then after the intro, the interest fell off a lot for me. I was just like, it's fine. You know, it's sad. It shouldn't be that way. Everybody else was giving it, you know, 10 out of 10s. But for me personally, I wasn't as gripped with it as I used to be with the old ones. Maybe that's what the issue is. Because I did play the crap out of the old ones. I flew through them in a week. You know, I never put them down. And this one I put down pretty easily. But again, I'll put some more time in before December. I'm sure I'll find some time in there.
Yeah,
somewhere.
We'll have time. We're going to try and build some a strong buffer in there.
Yeah.
Between some more content to make sure we're all kind of played up and ready to go for that.
Right.
Anything else in April, really? I mean,
there's a lot of games again, but like I see a lot of remasters. I see a lot of Nintendo Switch releases of games that were already out. You know, Switch owners have got to be thrilled out of their freaking minds. They have quite a library, man.
Oh, they've done so good.
But beyond that, nothing Game of the Year worthy, not in April.
God of War was the big one.
God of War was April. The one, yeah.
So let's jump over to May here. We're looking through the month of May. Re-release. Any game jumping out at you?
A ton of re-releases. Jeez. And again, man, Nintendo Switch owners, you have got to be so hyped.
Yep.
So many games are released for the Switch. That is so cool.
You know what? I see a couple of games. Here's one game to bring up. I think I've played it. State of Decay 2.
I knew you were going to use that one.
Let's bring that up and have a conversation about that. Curious, what you haven't played it. I didn't play either one ever. I know you played like a little bit of the first one. It felt very clunky. I jumped in. I'll definitely say that I had more fun than I expected to for this game.
Right.
Just kind of when in playing with it in the management sim, understanding that it's not just like an action zombie game, but it's more of a management sim of like you going out, getting supplies and whatnot for your house, building your house, building survivors, making a community, and whatnot. I had a lot of fun. It was a whole lot of fun. Game of the year conversations and talks. I don't see it in any conversations. When it did launch, it was buggy. Apparently, Undead Lab is known for that. I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing.
Yeah, right. Within
looks at Bethesda.
Yeah, so sometimes right?
It doesn't matter. But it may pop up in a couple of people's lists. Maybe in some of the, I hate to say lower tier, but some of the less talked about categories for games. But I think State of Decay 2, it really kind of got a hook in me that I didn't expect to have. It apparently is selling well. I think it's at 3 million or 4 million copies sold of the game, not including Game Pass. I'm playing it on Game Pass. So I think Undead Labs is doing something. I mean, they got bought out by Microsoft.
Right.
So that makes me more excited about State of Decay games than the second one did, just because now they've got the power of the Microsoft wallet available to them, so maybe they can hire some more people to knock out some of those bugs quicker and throw like a cool polish on the game that the first two didn't have whenever they release the third one. I'm sure they're going to have a third one.
Yeah, you don't buy out a company like that without having plans for a third game.
Most definitely. But State of the K2. I think it's worth talking about. It may pop up in some people's categories, maybe in the Rocket Punch categories. Who knows? Depends on how the rest of the year goes. But I've definitely had fun with it.
Right.
Definitely worth checking out. I'm more curious about just your thoughts because you've beaten the game. Bloodstained: Curse of the Moon. It came out.
I did beat the game. It's not game of the year, though. I mean, it was short. I beat it in 2 hours. How can you have a 2-hour game?
Oh,
of the
you
year?
Beat it in 2 hours?
2 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, I beat it on stream on an indie app.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's fine. I don't regret the purchase. It was $10, but at the same
review
time,
review of
like,
Bloodstained: Curse of the Moon. I beat it in 2 hours.
Yeah, right.
Rocket Punch.
I mean, what are you going to say about a game that you played for 2 hours? I put more time into Fallout Shelter than I did that. I don't know. It was fine. I liked it. You know, again, worth every penny of $10, but beyond that, I wouldn't have paid a penny more.
A game that I see on the list that a lot of people, it's very divisive. I say very divisive, but it's divisive.
It is.
Detroit: Become Human.
Yeah, that's what you were going to pick. Very divisive, I would say. Much more divisive than I thought it was going to be.
I think so, too, especially at the end. Apparently, it is a big thing that you either love or hate David Cage games.
Yes.
You do not get in between.
Yep.
I fall firmly on the love side of that. I think I've played Detroit Become Human like 3 times on stream.
Mm-hmm.
I have had fun every single time going through, making the choices, seeing how these stories play out. I still have a little bit left to go to beat the game, but I'm very entertained with Detroit Become Human. We had a conversation with one friend who will remain nameless about the fact of like Detroit Become Human isn't a game, it's an adventure storybook. Those were some choice words there. And there's a conversation I would have with anybody who says that just on the basis of like what games are in particularly. I think that my personal view is I think that that form of thinking in that comment is completely false and untrue.
If Kirby
shape.
Star Allies is a game, then this is a game. I'll say that. I will and say I think, that.
Because I think, personally, you walk into conversations about, like, what people talked about walking simulators and are these games. And, you know, video games is an art, and it doesn't have to necessarily be that you're shooting up your Brofist McBroster and you're shooting up aliens while holding the baby.
That's
a very overdramatization. I'm being overly dramatic.
That is unfair.
I'm being overly dramatic. But, like, just what games are, I don't think just because it's a David Cage game and you may not like what he does, that this, you shouldn't discount this as this is not a game and throwing it out. But I digress. Detroit Became Human is really, really fun. I think we had a person in our Discord channel ask about the game.
Yes, we did.
And I gave him my honest answer when, because I've played it and I was like, look, I've played it. I enjoy it. It's a narrative based game. It's choose your choices, just like Telltale games and things of that nature.
Right.
Watch the game for yourself. You're going to see a lot of division in the community on how people like this game and don't like this game. So go watch the video. Go watch the gameplay. You decide, because you're an informed gamer and you make your pick on whether you want to buy the game or not. I can see people making a case for $60 worth. It's your cup of tea. I mean, I paid $60 for No Man's Sky. I'm not ashamed to say that. I've had my fun with that game. And I paid Detroit Became Human, bought it digitally. And so, you know, if it's something where it's like, oh, I'll wait for, I'd rather get it at $20 or $30. Wait until it's $20 or $30. But I think that from a narrative perspective, the narrative's been really, really great. I think this may pop up in some people's Game of the Year conversations.
Right.
This upcoming year. But I've had a lot of fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
Had a lot of fun.
I'm glad. I have not played it. I probably won't play it.
I doubt you will.
It's not really my cup of tea.
I don't see it as, a game you're going to be driving up to jump out of the car to play. What about that Pokemon Quest? No, I'm kidding. We're not going to talk about Pokemon Quest.
Thanks. It's like, dude, it's 10 after 9, man. Like, we're really going to really scrape the bottom of the barrel at that point.
Anything else in May? I don't see anything else in May.
There's plenty of games, but again, we were talking Game of the Year. You know what I mean? Like, no. There's nothing else in May that was like, oh yeah, that was probably one of the best games of the year.
Then our last month, June. What do we have here for June? You see anything grabbing you?
I mean, you got Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle. It'll probably be on somebody's fighting game list game of the year, but it was not as good as Dragon Ball Fighters. It's just that simple. You know, Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle was a way to try and get another game out this year. You had a few characters that you put a lot of time into. You had the Ruby characters that you put a lot of time into, and then you brought in a bunch of other stuff that the assets weren't nearly as good, and it stands out like a sore thumb. It will not win any awards this year. It may be in somebody's running, because fighting games don't have all that many releases in a year, so I'm sure you will see it again, but it will not beat Dragon Ball FighterZ this year, I promise.
Some of the big popular one that I see, where was it at? Mario Tennis Aces came out recently.
Mm-hmm.
That may be on some people's like best family game.
Yeah.
Whatnot. I've heard average reviews for the game though.
Mm-hmm.
I had a chance to play it. I wasn't jumping out of the seat to go grab it.
I've read and watched a lot on the game because I really wanted to pick it up, but it seems like it's a half price game. There's not a lot of content. There's not a lot of content. It pales in comparison to like a Mario Kart. You know, okay. Mario Kart's got more courses, more characters, more carts, more options, more this, more that. Mario Tennis Aces is a basic tennis game. You know what I mean? They added a single-player mode, but apparently the single-player mode is, like, really short. Like, finish it in one sitting short. And it's like, all right, then why put it in there at all? You know what I mean? Like, if you couldn't flesh it out more than that. Apparently there was, like, a really good CG trailer that they released before the game came out or whatever. There's only one other CG trailer in the entire story mode, and that's at the end of the game, and that's all there is in between. It's like, I don't know. Again, game of the year. It might be on, like you said, somebody's family list, but it won't be on anything legitimate.
Okay. Anything else in May?
I mean, The Crew 2 came out. That'll probably be on somebody's racing game of the year. You know? But I've heard middling stuff about that one, too.
The Crew really hasn't.
Yeah. You were talking about Ubisoft or whatever during our Ubisoft coverage earlier that we did for the E3 conference, and that, you know, they're great at sequels. Apparently this one, they just basically put out The Crew again.
It's hard to look at The Crew when you have Forza coming out every year.
Yeah.
And that's really the gold standard now in racing games.
It really is. Everybody else has got to step up there. You got to step up your game or don't bother. You know, I'm sorry, but come on, man. You live in the exact same world with Forza Horizon. And Forza Horizon is an incredible setup of games. Like, the stuff they're putting out over there, Turn 10 should be, like, very proud of themselves.
They should.
So,
Turn 10 and Playground, because they're two different developers. Okay, anything else in June?
Not what I'm seeing. Are you seeing anything? New Gundam Breaker came out, but I didn't hear anything about that.
It's not going to be.
I didn't hear anything about most of
what I'll go ahead and save you the trouble now. It's not going to be Game of the Year conversation, I promise you. That's just a good old fun Gundam game.
Yeah.
And get anime, kawaii, weeaboo people in there for that. So that's the progress report, kind of hearing our take of some of the games that have already come out that are looking very promising for Game of the Year categories here at Rocket Punch and at various outlets as well. Not a bad list. I definitely think that last year's game progress report this time last year was much stronger.
2017 will go down in legend.
Yeah.
You know, the only combat for 2017 will be February 2019.
That's next year. We don't have to worry about that. You saw the notes. I ended up taking out the second.
I see that.
We went a little long on this, and that's totally cool because this is the main topic. But I figured also, I think we did this in the last progress report as well. Kind of looking forward, what are some kind of thumbing through? We're not going to go month by month, but we know some of the games, especially after E3. Like, what are some of those games that are definitely jumping out to you as Game of the Year contenders? Do you know of any that are jumping out to you as Game of the Year contenders? Chris, I don't know if you or the viewers know what games are jumping out.
Red Dead 2?
Yeah! That's a big one that a lot of people...
That is a big one, but I see what you're talking about. Yeah. Cameron, for those of you listening on audio service of your choice, we've got Cameron here in his Spider-Man shirt, off of the E3 2018 floor. Spider-Man's gonna be great. Spider-Man's gonna be great. And Spider-Man's gonna win it for me, but that's gonna be super partial, you know what I mean? Like, I love superhero games, I love Spider-Man games. Spider-Man is gonna have no problem in my Game of the Year wrapping up over God of War. I already know that. Like, this game looks like a total blast. So, I'm really excited for Spider-Man. I know that one.
Yeah, Spider-Man, I know a lot of people are going to be putting Fallout 76, I think, is going to be on some people's talks.
It will,
I don't think it will.
It has a ways to go, doesn't
far.
It? I don't think so either.
A part of me thinks that a lot of people are hyped on that because it is more Fallout. I mean, me personally, I'm not a Fallout fan. Everybody knows that. I think that is Fallout. It looks to me like Fallout 4 online.
Yes.
That's what it looks like to me. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but there are a lot of strong games, particularly like Red Dead Redemption 2, that are coming out that I think might kind of cover that game up a little bit as well.
Yep.
Shadow of the Tomb Raider, you think that'll get some love? I think that'll get some attention.
It'll get some attention because it's a Tomb Raider game, but at the same time, like, I mean, I don't know. The trailers certainly haven't put me in a mood that it's going to be a Game of the Year contender of any sort, but, you know, I like that franchise. The last two games were fun. You know, I'm excited about the third one, but at the same time, you know, I'm skeptical that it will go far, you know, in turning people's heads to that level.
Life is Strange 2 coming out. The big one, the first one was a huge kind of cult hit. I think a lot more eyes are going to be popping on 2 to see if that's going to be successful. It's really going to depend on its story on whether that is Game of the Year contender or not.
Yeah. You know, it's going to be a sad one. It can't win Game of the Year, but because it basically just can't. But I'm just curious if it's the quality that they're going to put out. Battle for Azeroth.
Oh, yeah.
Now, MMOs always get that Oscar snub. You know what I mean? It's like, you're definitely not going to win Game of the Year. But that being said, after the performance you put out for Legion, I'm very excited to be able to get some BFA
time. Rocket Punch has Game of the Year.
Yeah, right?
So it could definitely be in our contentions as well. I think that's... In August, that's going to be probably a talked about game around here in the office.
Office. I love that you use that.
I like using these big terms. Stop. I'm looking ahead. Stop. I'm looking to the future, Chris. Don't judge me. Don't at me, Chris.
Don't at me. Jesus Christ.
No Man's Sky is coming out for the Xbox.
What's that?
No Man's Sky is coming out for the Xbox. That's pretty exciting.
That's not going to be in the contention, though. Stop with the jokes. You know, I'm not. No, no, we're done with that. Forza 4 comes out this year. It's a racing game. It won't win any game of the year. It may win racing game of the year,
best racing game.
Yeah, but again, that's another one of those types that always gets the snub.
Odyssey's going to be. Assassin's Creed Odyssey is going to be some talks.
There's going to be some talks. I'm excited about that. They could go far with that. They really could. What I've seen doesn't look like Game of the Year, but you know what? You could be holding back on that one.
Never know.
I am excited about that.
Other than that...
Battlefield 5, Soul Calibur...
Weirdly enough, I think Super Smash Brothers is going to be in somebody's category as well. It's really, really late in the year, but I think it's just because it's Smash.
Yeah, no.
Somebody's going to be talking about it.
I mean, you got to talk about it because it's Smash. It'll sell a bazillion copies.
Oh, yeah. No, you know? Of course. Any other games on here that we've seen so far? I mean, E3's out. A lot of these are updated.
Yeah. No, the rest of the year. I told you earlier, though, I feel like the rest of the year is pretty naked. I feel like if you were going to put something out, the November-December timeframe is like wide open right now.
It's because... February 2019, that's when all the games are coming out.
Yes, I know. Starting January, got Kingdom Hearts 3, and then from there, it rolls through March.
Yes, true.
It's going to be psychotic.
Division 2. We Happy Few.
There's like 6 games I'm going to buy at the beginning of next year. Now, that's going to be a hard Game of the Year. Because it's so front-loaded that December 2019...
Somebody will blink. Somebody will blink.
100%. Yeah, 100%. Totally agree. And it's Anthem. Anthem's going to blink. Anthem's blinking already. They're absolutely going to blink. They may be a 2019 release, but they won't be a February 2019.
We Happy Few. I think that's worth a nod, especially since it's very interesting premise. Looks kind of Bioshocky. Microsoft bought the studio. So that could be in some talks later this year. Other than that, I think those are some of those are the big ones that stand out to me.
Yeah.
At least right now for the remainder of the year.
Yep.
For Game of the Year. Any other games you got?
Just because we're talking Game of the Year doesn't mean that there's other stuff that I'm not looking forward to.
No.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of stuff. Overcooked 2, I'm going to pick that up. That's going to be a blast.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting that.
But yeah, I'm probably even going to pick up My Hero 1 Justice. I'm probably going to buy that stupid game. It comes out in August, apparently.
Wow, okay, yeah.
It looks retarded, I'm going to buy it because I really like that show, and I would like to have a game of the show.
I got to see gameplay of that first before I start. It looks kind of clunky the last time I saw it.
It looks clunky, but I'm going to get it. Spyro Trilogy, I'm going to get. I'm really excited about that. I think it's going to be awesome. Okay.
I'm looking at
another one
here.
Of those. It's similar to Shadow of the Colossus trilogy of the Colossus remake, though, where it doesn't matter how much effort you put into it, it's never going to get any kind of Game of the Year. Talk.
Hitman 2, I'm definitely going to pick up. I think the first one was very great, so I'm definitely excited to kind of jump back in that. We never even talked about this. I can't believe it. Pokemon Let's Go Eevee and Let's Go Pikachu.
That comes out this year?
That's November 16th.
I missed it.
Yeah, I totally forot about it. And my eyes kept jumping off.
No, I didn't stop. I went through this. I'm getting that. I mean, I'm very excited about that. I told you guys that's going to reinvigorate my love of Pokemon right there. I'm stoked.
That's going to be... I'm curious to see if that ends up in conversations for Game of the Year. It could. It's Pokemon.
It could.
It has that power, but it's
a remake, and it's a remake, and it's like a vanilla remake.
I think they have enough new stuff in there, kind of pulling in the Pokemon Go inner.
But it's like new stuff that actually like takes stuff out of the game. It's a weird hybridization. I'm excited. I want to play it, but Game of the Year.
We'll see. We'll have to find out and see.
We shall.
Other than that, guys, I think that is it for this episode of the Rocket Punch Cast, giving our kind of full progress report for Game of the Year 2018. We still got 6 months left, so anything can change, but kind of giving our impressions of what we think is doing pretty well so far,
yes.
I think. Any final words for the folks at home?
No. Not this week.
Not this week.
Saving them. Saving those final words for next week.
There you go. Saving for next week. All right.
Banking.
But guys, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Rocket Punch Cast. Remember, you can always see and follow our content over at rocketpunchgo.com. It's your one-stop shop for all the content, the podcast, and videos that we do. And as well, you can help support the show even further by going to patreon.com/rocketpunch. There, helps the show out as well. If you are watching via Twitch, make sure you click that heart up at the top of your screen so you're following us here at twitch.tv/rocketpunchlive so you'll know when we go live each and every week. As we do, we like playing games throughout the week for Top Shelf Tuesday, Indie Avenue Wednesdays, and Tangentspank Thursdays. We've got a pretty nice lineup scheduled for this week on this lovely holiday week, 4th of July. Again, happy 4th of July to everybody in the U.S. who is celebrating that as well. But other than that, guys, thank you so much for joining us this evening. We'll see you next week. Oh, there's a button. I got to click the button. Hold on.